worth more? Art or life? Is it worth more than food? Worth more than justice? Are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet and people?
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source of insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre. The show's for the week of October 26th, 2022. The global carbon dioxide level is currently 415.67 parts per million, well above our target of 350. There are 2,624 days left until the year 2030 when we need to cut our carbon pollution. The clock keeps ticking. Well, we are happy today to be joined by our co-host and a wonderful person, Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well, and I'm looking forward to our discussion today about the good, the bad, and ugly of the climate activist who threw soup on a Van Gogh painting.
So, Mariah, I thought it would be interesting to discuss a recent protest event that happened over in England, because it's a template for a lot of stuff that we might see going forward, and it is a mashup of all kinds of interesting questions, from the connection of art, climate, activism, media, I mean, all kinds of class, privilege, tons of things that all come together in a single event that are worth discussing. So let me just set up the context. There is an organization in England called Just Stop Oil. And two of their members went to a British museum. I guess I'm not sure which British museum, but they went to a British museum.
The National Gallery.
The National Gallery, right? And they went up in to London. A picture of Van Gogh's sunflowers or something, famous, you know, iconic art, famous art. And then what they proceeded to do is take a can of tomato soup and throw it at the artwork, which of course is shocking to anyone who cares at all about art. And then they proceeded to put glue on their hands and glue themselves to the wall by the artwork. And of course, it was all videotaped, went viral, and, you know, the two young pink-haired women were immediately made famous, right, in both good and bad ways. So let me just stop there, Mariah. Did you see the video? We'll put up links to it, but did you see the video of the people throwing, and what was your visceral reaction when someone throws soup at a Van Gogh?
Yeah. So, you know, actually, I did see the video, and but before I saw the video, I kind of just heard about this, somebody throws tomato soup on a Van Gogh painting. And, you know, I was appalled at the thought that someone had possibly ruined a Van Gogh painting. That was my first thought, was they destroyed this painting. I mean, that, you know, art is meaningful to me and for many reasons. And, so at first I was kind of incensed. It certainly caught my attention. And then I realized that there's a glass covering over the Van Gogh painting. So nothing was harmed on the painting except for maybe a little bit of the picture frame. The painting is perfectly preserved and it's totally safe. And I like to think that the activists took that into consideration when they were doing it. So,
yeah, well, it was certainly shocking. Well, let's just put out, I think that the more nuanced point that the protesters were making is that if you consider the planet any kind of a work of art of cultural significance or something that you would want to preserve, it's sort of an analog for the Van Gogh painting. And by throwing tomato soup at it, it sort of reminds you that we are currently throwing oil all over the planet, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's the kind of a... an inside message here, but certainly the point was to shock people, get attention. And it raises the issue in my mind of whether or not protests of that sort, which I think are more and more frequent, or will become more and more frequent, are they effective? Do they work? What is their point? Why should they be viewed positively, negatively? I just think there's a ton of stuff there, right?
Yeah. I think it's worth bringing into the conversation one of quite a famous activist. I mean, there's many of them, of course, but Greta Thunberg started her school protests back in 2018. And her idea was kind of along the similar vein, right? So these protesters, this Just Stop Oil that put the tomato soup on the Van Gogh painting, were saying, what's worth more, art or life? You know, is art worth more than food? Is art worth more than justice? Are you concerned more about the protection of a painting than the protection of our planet and people? Those are some of the quotes that Phoebe Plummer, who was one of the activists, said. So, and Greta Thunberg had this sort of same idea. What's the point of me going to school if there's not going to be a planet in which to apply my learning? So she stopped going to school every Friday. She sat in front of the Swedish Parliament building. And, you know, these were acts that garnered attention. Of course, Greta Thunberg sat in front of the Swedish Parliament for many, many Fridays before she got any notice. But eventually her school, the school strike for climate gained a lot of sort of attention and and became a movement. And so I think, you know, I bring that up just because these kids are asking really good questions. We want attention. We need attention because our livelihood is at stake.
And I think that Greta Thunberg was less viscerally shocking, but also something that drew a response of what, you know, you need to go to school kind of thing. I guess, though, that the activists, there's a certain class of activists that is doing this sort of protest, right? Because there have been other echoes of this. There's mashed potatoes on a painting in France someplace. There's, in fact, I think there's a video of the same organization smashing a pie into the face of the wax figure of King Charles, right? Again, just to shock you and get on, get in the media. And the question is whether or not that media attention is effective. And it brings up something that's called the activist dilemma, right? As an activist, you want to get attention, but and the thing that gets the attention is the most shocking, outrageous act. But then does that actually work effectively to bring people to the cause in either the short or long term? And I think you're looking at Greta Thunberg. I mean, she certainly brought a lot of people to the cause for the long term, right? And that was good. But the question at hand is whether or not throwing paint at a Van Gogh helps or hurts in the short or long term. I guess the example that I would bring up as kind of equivalent to this thing with the paint on the Van Gogh is that in the 70s, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, right, had a campaign to throw blood or paint on people wearing fur coats in downtown New York, right? And that was shocking, and, you know, how could those crazy people do that at the time? But now, 20 years later, you say, were they right? I mean, did they bring you, and I have to, in my own circumstance, those protests did not make me a member of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, but it did make me more sympathetic in the long run, right? And I guess I put it to you, Mariah, do you think that in 10 years these people will be seen as visionaries, or will they be seen as nutcases?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We are, you know, you gave the statistics about how far above 350 parts per million, the sort of safe operating space for humanity of, you know, carbon in the air. I think, what did you say? We're at 416.
About that.
415 parts per million, right? So we're like well out of the safe operating space for humanity on this earth. And it calls, we need wake up calls. We definitely need drastic action. And there's part of me that wants to say, look, we need people to be thinking about this and not going about their everyday sort of thinking it's someone else's problem or not even that, but just, you know, it's just not part of not bandwidth. The
right.
And it, yeah. And in some ways, you know, these sort of acts of awareness might be more important than turning off your lights and driving an electric vehicle, because the individual actions that we do, such as turning off lights and driving electric vehicles, are important and there's a place for them, but they are a drop in the bucket compared to the real source of pollutions, which is coming from a very small handful of corporations. And so what we need is more people demanding more action to stop climate pollution. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if these acts of protests hurt or hinder the cause, but they certainly at least get people talking about it. And
well, I completely agree. I mean, it's like everyone that's outraged is at least talking about it. And I mean, the other, because I've been thinking about this, the other example, you may remember, I think it was last spring, a climate activist immolated himself on the National Mall, right? He burned himself up. And it was just, we all clocked as, oh, you know, mental illness or something, right? And it didn't make anything. But these kids who did this admittedly attention-grabbing thing, people don't want to talk about it. They want to condemn it, but at least they're talking about it. At least they're recognizing that there is a protest there. And I think I have a feeling that's an advantage, because I mean, there's one article I'll put up a link to that talked about how these kinds of protests are a fringe that make the center look more reasonable. Right. So there's two sets of articles. One says that these, not what they call non-normative protests, where they go out and do something kooky, like throwing paint at the right. That kind of act turns off, in the short term, at least, people who might be your allies, right? But I mean, those people are all asleep. They're not your allies, right? They're not paying attention, right? And then the other argument says that these kinds of things, you may not agree with what they're doing, but at least you recognize it and maybe make you think next time you see Greta Thunberg, you know, in the middle lane. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. It's making you stop and think about it. It's interrupting your sort of day to day and challenging you to sort of go there. Right. Which, whether you agree or whether you don't agree, you're talking about it.
Right. And I think that's the advantage. I do like the particular sort of nuance of this protest, because it does. I guess my problem with the whole protest is that what you see is somebody throwing tomato soup at an artwork, and it's hard to get the correlated message out that says, yes, the planet Earth is being despoiled by oil, right? That analog gets lost, but that's the real message. That is, you know, there's, as you said before, there's no art on a dead planet, right? There's no art if there's no eyes to look at it, right?
Well, they say that Earth without art is just eh.
That's right. Well, yes, but I mean the. I think that the. So I guess, you know, thinking through, net, I'm glad these kids did this, because it got people talking, and I think in 10 or 15 years, you know, they will be looked at more favorably. I mean, Martin Luther King, when he was assassinated, was supporting a trash workers' strike. I mean, people thought he should stay the heck out. Why was he doing that? Right? They disapproved what he was doing. And now here we are years later with a Martin Luther King holiday. Right? And so these acts of that appear in the moment weird, actually, I think, have currency and will hang around.
Yeah. It's time will certainly tell. You know, I think people are more not supportive, but when you see people, activists that are chaining themselves to some sort of fossil fuel infrastructure, that that correlation makes sense. But as you said, you know, people are like, what is, you, why are you ruining an artwork?
Right. Like, right.
Granted, they did not ruin it. So I think that's an important piece of it. I actually would feel very differently had they actually destroyed the artwork.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess the other take on it that I have seen of these, again, two young pink-haired women in England. I mean, one of the critiques was that it's too easy for white activists to forget about the real environmental justice in communities where bad things are happening, and that you are better, in quotation marks, to go protest at a more meaningful place and to find solidarity with people who are facing, are not performing art, right? It's not a performative protest. I mean, they are on the front lines. I think there's some credit. I think there's some truth in that, that, you know, there is of course value, or that's where we should be. But it seems to me that that kind of analysis poses an either or that says either you're going to throw paint at the Van Gogh, or you're going to be standing with, environmental justice communities. I think that the world is much more varied, right? You want to do both. You need all kinds of stuff. You want the lunatic fringe doing this crazy stuff to draw attention, but you also have to be bound up in solidarity with people who are suffering in the real time, in the moment. No?
Yeah. Well, I think we all need to bring what skill sets we have to bear in the ways that we can for the climate crisis. And I am not someone who would ever throw painting on a Van Gogh at the National Gallery and, you know, super glue myself to the wall. That's not my scene and it's not my personality. And yet, for these two women, it was a fit for them, and it fit their personality, and they were able to make their statement. I fully understand the importance of being on the front lines in some of these communities that are being hard hit. But I also think that we needed all of the above approach in a lot of ways, because time is running out.
Yeah. And so I think that there's predictions that we will be seeing more of this. I don't know if you caught it, but I guess the Pennsylvania State football game was interrupted at halftime by people sitting on the, interrupting the band, kind of like bye-bye Miss American Pie, right? They ran out where the band was on the field, and they tied up the football game for an hour and a half, right? And these are things that are disruptive, non-normative, that get your attention, might make you angry. And I guess, you know, it's funny, because I've thought, why don't climate activists just go shut down a highway, right? And for me, I mean, of course, that's a form of protest nowadays, which has its own path. I mean, I think doing something like that is, you put people's lives at risk, right? If an ambulance needs to get through, you don't want to be shutting down the highway or something. On the other hand, I think that there's a lot of creative, non-destructive ways to get people's attention. And I think we may be seeing more of that, as because everyone, no one's paying attention. And until people start paying attention and demanding action, you got to keep yelling.
Yeah. And I think that there's a U.S. network that was set up in 2019 called the Climate Emergency Fund, which actually funded this Just Stop Oil protest in London. And they are going to keep building on the shock of what they call the Van Gogh souping to kind of continue with this. I'm hard pressed to say, like, I still think that kind of one of the most important things we can do for the climate crisis is to raise our voices and to talk about it. And Extinction Rebellion, of course, is another very well-known climate activist organization, along with Greenpeace. And they're controversial. There's no question about it. But they've also made a lot of things happen.
I think that's the, yes. The real question is, time will tell. We will see. So, dear listener, if you take a look at these videos, form your own opinion. It is an interesting open question. There's no right answer here, right? I mean, it's just what you take away. But it is certainly, as I say, a collision of lots and lots of, mean, we didn't even get into the media part, you know, what the media picks up and chooses not to pick up, right? Blah, blah, blah. There's so many things there. But what we got, we should put it down here, Mariah. I think that what I'll do is put up links on the blog so you can see all this stuff. That'll be at massclimateaction.org. And you go, you look for newsletter and more, pull it down and say blog and podcast is one of the options. And that's where you can get to the links. Please go there. When you're on the website, please go to the donate page and donate some money to MCAN. Do very good work. If you have a comment about the show or new ideas, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about. Of course, you're probably listening to us on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask your friends to listen to us on their iPhones. That's your climate action for the week, other than throwing soup and souping to Van Gogh at your local museum. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, tomato soup, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Mariah, it has been wonderful to have you back. I look forward to having you again soon. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.